Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Mario Ritter Jr. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. On today's program, we look to the heavens as Katie reports on a newly formed planet, and Brian Lynn tells about a space rock orbiting close to Earth. On Everyday Grammar, we explore the progressive tense, and then the lesson of the day. But first,
astronomers have observed a newborn planet that formed in 3 million years, a relatively brief time. They say the discovery leads to questions about the current understanding of the speed of planetary formation. Space scientists estimate the planet to be around 10 to 20 times the mass of Earth. It is an exoplanet, meaning a planet outside our solar system. It is one of the youngest exoplanets ever discovered. It exists among dense gas and dust, orbiting a young star. The orbiting matter is called a protoplanetary disk. It provides the materials necessary for planet formation. The star it orbits is not as hot and is about half as bright as our sun. The star's mass is about 70% that of the sun. It is in our Milky Way galaxy, about 520 light years from Earth. A light year is the distance light travels in a year, 9.5 trillion kilometers. This discovery confirms that planets can be in a cohesive form within 3 million years, which was previously unclear, as Earth took 10 to 20 million years to form, said Madison Barber, a research student at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, or UNC. Barber is the lead writer of the study, published recently in Nature magazine. We don't really know how long it takes for planets to form, UNC professor and study co-writer Andrew Mann added. We know that giant planets must form faster than their disk dissipates because they need a lot of gas from the disk. But disks take 5 to 10 million years to dissipate. So, do planets form in 1 million years? 5? 10? The planet orbits its star every 8.8 days. Its mass is in between that of Earth, the largest of our solar system's rocky planets, and Neptune, the smallest of the gas planets. It is less dense than Earth and has a diameter about 11 times greater. Its chemical makeup is not known. The researchers suspect that the planet formed further away from its star and then moved closer. Forming large planets close to the star is difficult because the protoplanetary disk dissipates away from closest to the star the fastest, meaning there's not enough material to form a large planet that close that quickly, Barber said. The researchers found the planet using the so-called transit method. observation of a drop in the star's brightness from the perspective of an observer on Earth when the planet passes in front of it. NASA's Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite, or TESS Space Telescope, discovered the exoplanet. This is the youngest known transiting planet. It is on par with the youngest planets known, Barber said. Stars and planets form from clouds of interstellar gas and dust. To form a star-planet system, the cloud of gas and dust will collapse and spin into a flat environment, with the star at the center and the disk surrounding it. Planets will form in that disk. The disk will then dissipate, starting from the star side, Barber said. It was previously thought that we wouldn't be able to find a transiting planet this young because the disk would be in the way. But for some reason that we aren't sure of, the outer disk is warped, leaving a perfect window to the star, Barber added. I'm Katie Weaver.
An asteroid that moved closer to Earth's orbit in recent months is now moving away from our planet as gravity pulls it back toward the Sun. The asteroid is small, about 10 meters long, and never presented any threat to Earth. But the object, known as 2024 PT5, was recently pulled closer to our planet by Earth's gravitational forces. Scientists sometimes call such objects mini-moons. This is because they behave similarly to the permanent moon orbiting Earth when they are captured by gravity. But they are much smaller and stay only temporarily in Earth's orbit. The American Space Agency, NASA, said it does not consider 2024 PT5 a mini-moon because it was never expected to be fully captured by Earth's gravity. But NASA has described the small asteroid as an interesting object that is worthy of study. Such asteroids are considered near-Earth objects. The space agency noted that similarities between the asteroid's motion and that of Earth suggest the object could be a large piece of rock that broke off from the moon's surface after an asteroid strike in the distant past. The object was first observed on August 7th by two astronomer brothers from Spain's Complutense University of Madrid, Carlos de la Fuente Marcos and Raúl de la Fuente Marcos. They identified the asteroid through observations made by a telescope in South Africa. The Spanish astronomers said it appeared 2024 PT5 is part of a group of near-Earth objects within the Arjuna asteroid belt. They wrote that asteroids in this belt are believed to be surrounding the path followed by the Earth-Moon system. The Associated Press reported The astronomers had used telescopes in the Spanish Canary Islands off the coast of northwestern Africa to make hundreds of observations. The object is currently more than 3.5 million kilometers from Earth. Only powerful telescopes can see the asteroid because of its small size and low brightness. The astronomers say 2024 PT5 should head back to Earth in the coming weeks. It is expected to pass as close as 1.8 million kilometers from Earth in January. The moon stays at a distance of about 384,000 kilometers from our planet, NASA explains. The asteroid will then move farther into the solar system while orbiting the sun. Scientists say the next time the object is expected to make another close move toward Earth is in 2055. Raul de la Fuente Marcos told the AP that 2024 PT5 was first identified in August and began its move toward Earth in late September. He said the object's path was similar to the shape of a horseshoe. De la Fuente Marcos noted that by the time the asteroid returns in January, it will be moving at more than double the speed from September. Current data suggests that during its 2055 visit, it will again make a temporary and partial circle around Earth. NASA said teams at its Center for Near-Earth Object Studies had continually followed the movements of 2024 PT5. It is normal for NASA and its international partners to continuously search the skies for near-Earth objects. Such objects include asteroids and comets that come within 50 million kilometers of Earth's orbit. The search system, called ATLAS, involves four different telescopes. Two of them are based in Hawaii, another operates in Chile, and the other sits in South Africa. NASA explains that ATLAS is designed to search the whole sky several times each night, looking for moving objects. The space agency says it will use its large Goldstone Solar System radar observer, which sits in Barstow, California, to follow 2024 PT5 when it again is pulled toward Earth's orbit in 2025. I'm Brian Lynn.
For VOA Learning English, this is Everyday Grammar. Today we are going to look at the progressive verb tenses. Progressive tenses express actions that are unfinished or in progress. There are three progressive verb tenses: the past progressive, the present progressive, and the future progressive. Progressive tenses are the same as continuous tenses.
We will start with the present progressive, the most common progressive tense. You form the present progressive tense by using a form of the verb be followed by an ing verb. For example,
I am watching a movie.
It is easy to confuse the simple present and the present progressive. What's the difference between
it rains in Seattle
and
it is raining in Seattle?
It rains in Seattle states that it rains in general. it does not necessarily mean that it is raining at the moment of speaking. It is raining in Seattle means that the rain started in the past, is happening now, and will probably continue into the future. Now, at this time and currently, are common adverbs in the present progressive. The present progressive can also express a scheduled event in the future. For example, this sentence is in the present progressive.
She is starting school next semester.
The meaning here is the same as the sentence in the simple future.
She is going to start school next semester.
The present progressive and simple future, with be going to, sometimes have the same meaning. You can also use present progressive with always to say that something disturbs you.
My neighbor is always playing loud music at night.
Or,
I am always making mistakes with verb tenses. Let's move on to the past progressive. The past progressive describes an event that was in progress in the past. To form the past progressive, use was or were followed by an ing verb. For example,
I was working late last night.
Sentences in the past progressive often have two actions. For example,
it was snowing when the plane landed in Denver.
Notice that the second action, landed, is in the simple past. The past progressive can also express an action in progress interrupted by a second action.
I was running when I slipped and fell.
Or,
I was sleeping when you called.
It is possible to have two progressive actions in the same sentence if the two actions are happening at the same time. You could say,
I was sleeping when you were working. The future progressive tense describes an event that will be in progress in the future. To form the future progressive tense, use will be followed by an ing verb. For example,
I will be waiting for you when you finish work.
The future progressive can be useful when you are making plans. Imagine your friend wants you to pick her up at the airport tomorrow, but you have to work. You could tell her,
I'm sorry, but I will be working when your plane gets in. There are some verbs that cannot be used in any of the progressive tenses. You would say,
I own a car.
Not,
I am owning a car.
Own is a stative verb. Stative verbs describe unchanging conditions or situations. Stative verbs often refer to mental states such as know, realize, like, believe, understand, love, hate, appear, and exist. A few verbs have both stative and non-stative meanings. Let's look at the verb think.
I think the book is good.
Is stative. The action does not change.
I am thinking about you.
Is progressive. It shows a temporary, changing action. Sensory verbs like see, taste, feel, smell, and hear work in the same way. Progressive verbs are especially useful for describing changing emotional states.
I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm John Russell.
You are listening to the VOA Learning English Podcast. You just heard our weekly Everyday Grammar program. We have Dr. Jill here with us to tell us more about English language verbs. Welcome, Jill. I noticed there is a kind of verb mentioned in this week's Everyday Grammar. stative verbs. How do they relate to the progressive tense?
Thanks, Mario. Yes, it's important to remember that there are some verbs we don't normally use in the progressive tense. These are stative verbs. They express a mental state.
That's right. Didn't you and John say own, know, like, believe, and love are examples?
Exactly. So you would not say, I am knowing her. That's the progressive tense. Instead, you'd use the simple present tense. I know her.
I see. So instead of saying, I am liking turkey on Thanksgiving Day, we would just say, I like turkey.
I believe you understand. Hey, that's a stative verb too, believe.
And a good word it is too. Thanks for joining us on the podcast today, Jill.
I'm always happy to talk with our podcast listeners.
And now it's time for the lesson of the day on the Learning English Podcast. My name is Andrew Smith, and I'm joined by Dr. Jill Robbins. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Andrew.
Our lesson is based on our video series, Let's Learn English. The series shows Anna Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C. Here's Anna introducing herself.
Hello, my name is Anna Mateo.
In today's lesson, we're going to talk about a quick and easy way to connect two sentences. To do this, we're going to listen to Lesson 14 from Level 2 of the video series. In Lesson 14, Anna's friend Pete talks about his girlfriend, and Ashley talks about her boyfriend. Both of them say they have found the perfect partner.
Hello. What are you guys looking at?
I'm showing Ashley pictures of my girlfriend. We have so much in common, even small things. She can't whistle, and I can't either.
And here's a picture of my boyfriend. My family is big, and so is his. I don't like ball sports, and he doesn't either. We are made for each other.
And so are we.
And here is what whistling is. Okay, now that you know what whistling is, let's go back to connecting sentences. We could hear some ways to connect sentences in these examples.
She can't whistle, and I can't either.
My family is big, and so is his. I don't like ball sports, and he doesn't either. We are made for each other.
And so are we.
And now let's listen to Professor Bott explain the way Pete and Ashley connected their sentences.
Pete and Ashley are talking about people they love. They are putting two ideas together with connectors. Let's start with these two sentences. She can't whistle. Pete can't whistle. How do you put them together? Pete says,
she can't whistle, and I can't either.
You can see we just add the conjunction either and take away the verb whistle. And Ashley says,
I don't like ball sports, and he doesn't either.
For statements with a negation, which use the word not, instead of repeating the main verb, at the end of the sentence, we add the word either. That usually makes the sentence shorter.
Right. Compare these two sentences.
I don't like ball sports, and he doesn't like ball sports.
I don't like ball sports, and he doesn't either.
By using the word either, Ashley did not have to repeat the phrase, he doesn't like ball sports.
You may have just noticed we pronounce that connector in two ways, and both ways have the same meaning. We can pronounce it either or either.
You say either, and I say either. There's a famous American song that uses this difference in pronunciation in its lyrics. The name of the song is Let's Call the Whole Thing Off.
In the song, a man and woman want to call off, which means end or cancel, their relationship because they always disagree about certain things.
But Pete and Ashley don't want to call off their relationships. When they talk about their partners, they say,
we are made for each other.
And so are we.
The expression, to be made for each other, means to be almost perfectly matched to live happily with another person.
But what about Anna? She doesn't have a boyfriend. But she lies to Pete and Ashley, telling them she does have a boyfriend. But they know she's lying.
And that's why, a little later, Anna says she is sorry. And then she explains that she has found her own perfect match, too. Let's listen.
I'm sorry, but later, I really did meet someone. And we have a lot in common.
He's good at flying kites, and so am I. He likes to read comics, and so do I. I can play the ukulele, and so can he.
He sounds perfect for you, Anna. Can he come tonight?
That's the sad part. You see, he just got a job as a spy. And tonight, he leaves on assignment.
Of course he does.
But that's okay, because now I know that there is someone out there made for me. Oh, it's late. I have to see him off at the train station. Bye, you guys.
Bye, Anna. Oh, dear. She's worse than we thought.
She's lost her mind.
What should we do?
Let's tell her.
No, Pete. Mr. Wright may not be real, but he makes her really happy.
It looks like Anna's boyfriend is only in her imagination instead of a real person. Notice how, instead of repeating the same verb twice, she connected her sentences like this.
He's good at flying kites, and so am I. He likes to read comics, and so do I. I can play the ukulele, and so can he.
For an action verb, we connect with the auxiliary verb do.
He likes to read comics, and so do I.
For the verb be, we connect with the form of the verb be. In this example, Anna connects he's good with so am I.
He's good at flying kites, and so am I.
And with the modal can, we just repeat the modal, like this.
I can play the ukulele, and so can he.
It does seem like Anna has a lot in common with her imaginary boyfriend, Mr. Wright. I suppose a lot of people try to imagine a perfect partner they could spend time with.
And if they're lucky, that imaginary person becomes real when they find the right person.
And we hope the lesson of the day is a good match for you. Remember that you can email us and ask us your questions about English. If you're lucky, we'll try to answer them in another lesson of the day.
You can send your email to learningenglish@voanews.com.
Remember, you can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thanks for listening. I'm Dr. Jill.
And I'm Andrew Smith.
And that's our show for today. But join us again tomorrow to keep learning English on the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm...